I'm excited to talk about my summer vacation. I had some major brushes with greatness that I'll tell you about tomorrow. But right now we get to hear about George's time off.
Well, it was a great time. Had a lot of time with my family, including at the start of our vacation, celebrated another birthday.
That's right.
It was a big one. It was a very big one. So we go to another decade here. You know, birthdays have never bothered me, turning 40, turning 50. The only one that really did was when I turned 37, because the average age for the American male that year, I think the lifespan was 74 years. Mm. And I realized that I was making the turn, and I thought, that went really fast, the first 37 years. This one with that that number with a 6 kind mm-hmm. of, yeah, that kind of hit me a little bit. Whoa. But, hey, I'm glad to have another birthday.
I'm going to hit that in December, and like you, 30, 40, 50 didn't bother me at all. 60s going to be a little weird.
Yeah, it's
going to be a little weird, but as I've always said, I'd rather keep having birthdays than not.
That's right.
As long as I keep having them, I'm happy.
And I know what all the women's out there are thinking. Wow, he's 60? Look at him. I mean, wow, that's amazing.
Looks so
yeah,
good.
Yeah, looks so good. Yeah. Well, I don't look good, but I was able to. I did ski on my birthday.
Good.
Real?
Yeah.
Really? Still
yeah.
skiing not, on your birthday?
Not real well.
Where are they getting snow in July?
No, water skiing. Water skiing.
The slalom.
I was given an incredible gift from my family, my kids, and my wife. Gave me a gift that may be pretty dangerous.
Uh-oh.
It's not a motorcycle, but it's a Frozen Awesome machine. Double-barreled
uh-oh.
Frozen Awesome machine.
At your own home, you
yes,
now have...
industrial-size equipment.
Oh, my God.
Oh, that is so cool. What a dream. So any time of day, you just go over to those rotating drums and just pull the handle.
Constantly going.
It's like a Slurpee machine at
yeah.
7-Eleven.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. And, boy, it's
but
magical,
too. But it serves alcohol.
Yeah, my son made Captain Midnight margaritas and Mango Moose margaritas, double-barreled on my birthday, and it was awesome. And this made me feel really special. I got this greeting on my birthday.
Hello, good morning, George. It's Brady Tom. I hear it is a very special day for a very special friend of mine. I hear it is George's birthday, so happy birthday, George. I wish you nothing but the best and a wonderful birthday. Okay, talk soon. Bye, George.
How could you not have a great day?
Where did you get that?
Okay, so Brady Tom and I have mutual friends.
Okay.
And he left the message, and then it got forwarded to me. So that's what I was greeted with on my birthday. How could you not have a good day after hearing from Brady Tom, for gosh sakes? And then my entire family, we spent some time out of state. We went to Telluride, Colorado. Never been there before. Awesome place. Just great.
Yeah, I know a lot of people that go to Telluride and just rave about it. The Catman, Corby's been.
Yeah.
Couple of my other friends. I went to Telluride, but I think I was 12. That's the last time I've been there.
Okay.
But I remember it being beautiful. Box Canyon,
yeah.
Mountains all around. Just amazing.
Yeah, and not just a huge town, too. So you have that small town feel, mm-hmm. And that was really cool. On our way back from there, and we had some planes, trains, and automobiles. We had some travel issues, but the next day we left, and we actually had to fly out of Denver. And there was a guy getting on the plane, and he had a small infant, looked like maybe a month-old baby, and a young girl. She looked about 3 or 4 years old. And then about halfway through the flight, the little girl came up and handed me this picture that she and her dad drew. It says, "Musers, we miss you." And as you can see there, very colorful. Little Cameron, who's 4 years old, colored this for us. I'll put it out on X so everyone can see it.
That's great.
Her dad has drew a big P1. There's Gordo's LHO bathtub.
Okay.
That's the three musers right there.
Okay. There's stick figures.
There's a bike for you, Junior.
Okay.
There is that bike that kid drew, would that win the Tour de France?
Maybe. It's got purple wheels.
Look at the geometry.
I don't see any pedals.
I know it.
That's problematic.
It's a balance bike.
It's a balance bike, but maybe. And then there's a bird plus a dog equals bird dogs.
Gotcha.
A couple of hearts there. And a stack of unlimited enchiladas right there.
Funny. Oh, nice.
So
that is really great.
Cameron. And once again, showing why P1s are the best.
That should be the official artwork of our radio show.
Oh, my gosh.
We should all put that as our profile pic.
Do you think there's some crazy in that picture?
Gosh, that's insane.
An LHO bathtub with enchiladas underneath.
Yeah, and they're red. They're like blood red enchiladas.
But I was really taken by that. That was really, really sweet. And while we're in Telluride, my future daughter-in-law had the idea of, hey, let's go see this cover band. And it was a Fleetwood Mac cover band called Wild Rumors. And they were out of Seattle. And so we went, and it was at a, I would describe the place as almost a smaller version of the Kessler. Probably held 200 or 300 people. Maybe 300 to 400 people. It was had upstairs and downstairs, and it was the opera house of Telluride, and this band was really good. They were really good, and we had the best time. There were, by the way, there were P1s there that said, "Hey, Jubb," from the balcony as we walked in. P1s are everywhere. But it got me thinking after watching this performance, and we've talked about cover bands for a while. That was a cover band that had, I'm going to say, 300 people there. And they sold tickets. And they generated a lot of revenue. They sold merch afterwards. Venues have to cover the rights fees, you know, BMI, ASCAP, and all that. They pay that as a venue. When you generate that as a cover band, and that's just one cover band. So let's say there are 50 other Fleetwood Mac cover bands playing that night, mm-hmm. nationwide. And that's pretty conservative. Shouldn't Fleetwood Mac get some of that? More than just the whatever the venues are paying, and it doesn't go directly to them. That just goes to the, you know, the general payment of ASCAP, BMI, and all that. Because I bet they...
So you're saying Fleetwood Mac should get half the door?
Not half. I mean, just a nominal payment. But if you multiplied that by 50 and 52 weekends a year, you're talking about a substantial amount of money. And we had this discussion afterwards, and I think most said, "Nah, it gets them downloads, it sells them albums still to this day." And
yeah, and if they're getting the licensing fee, I'm going to say no. I don't think they deserve a cut of that.
I just think there's a difference between...
I hear what you're saying.
40 or 60 people listening and going, "Hey, yeah, this is interesting," to once you start getting 300 or 400 people there, and it's like it's a miniature Fleetwood Mac concert.
Yes. Right.
And it's not their material. It's Fleetwood Mac's material that they are... And they're selling merch afterwards?
Yeah. Which you would think that their merch has to be derivative in some way of Fleetwood Mac.
I mean, talk about name and likeness.
I know. It's a weird gray area, but it does seem like the artist should participate a little bit more. They do participate, obviously, through the indirect means of ASCAP BMI.
Yeah.
And yes, you get paid in exposure. You know, more people will download your stuff.
But
there has been kind of a movement away from the explanation of, "Hey, we'll just pay you in exposure."
Yeah.
And the other complication is you're not going to find a lot of people sympathetic to the artist on this because the artist is really famous and popular and rich already.
So maybe there is a cutoff there that if there's more than 200 people in attendance that some sort of percentage goes to the artist. I don't know. It just seemed...
George, looking out for the interest of multimillionaires.
As the artist, is there an artist anywhere that has challenged this?
There have been some suits, and every once in a while, sometimes they'll go after the venue, sometimes they go after, and I don't know what the precedent has been on some of those, but I would think they would have some grounds to maybe even win some of those to say, this is the epitome of name and likeness that you're taking, and you're making not just a few hundred dollars. We're talking tens of thousands of dollars on this.
The crazy thing is I have known people who, I mean, okay, so I'm going to speak a little bit judgmentally here, but don't care about music enough that they will go see a cover band and say, you know what, it's the same. I mean, go and hear the songs and everything. It doesn't matter to me. They're not the real artist. It's the same as going. So they will go see the cover band in lieu of going to see the real artist who actually wrote.
Okay, then
songs.
If I'm the artist now, I definitely have a problem with it.
I know. So, I mean, it is taking away business in that sense.
It's just like the painting that is just duplicated, and so the artist on down the line and all the duplication never gets anything from it of a painting?
My guess is the artist, talking about the bands here, probably feels like, oh, that's cool that we've got cover bands. Good for them. We ended up making tens of millions right. on our songs. They're making $1,000 or $2,000 or whatever. Good for them. And we're kind of flattered that we have cover bands.
Yes.
Yeah.
Absolutely. That's the way they see it. But your point is interesting as a thought experiment to how big does it get before you do have a problem with it? Because it's a matter of degrees.
Yes.
When it's just a few hundred people at a club, that's great.
Yeah, it's awesome.
But let's say that a cover band gets so popular they start selling out arenas.
Yeah.
And you can't draw as the original artist more than $1,000. Do you deserve more?
Well, okay. I thought about this because one of my sons had joined us in Telluride from, he was in the Vail area. And on July 4th, they've always had a big artist there that will perform on July 4th in the fireworks. This year, there were four cover bands, like a Bruce Springsteen cover band. And
see, I'm telling you,
so now they're taking
that
up,
way.
They're taking up gigs of that could have gone to an artist that he would gladly take. That would be a good payday for them.
Yeah, it's strange. I remember when this happened culturally. I remember thinking in the old days, cover bands used to be frowned upon by musicians.
Yeah.
And then somewhere along the way, cover bands became a really good way to make money as a musician, and there was not a cultural stigma against it whatsoever. People enjoy hearing that music, and it's a big party.
Yeah.
And it's fun.
And we had a great time.
Yeah.
We had a great time, but I feel like...
And so that's what the non-music lover that I was talking about earlier, that's what they cite, is that I still go and have a great experience just seeing the four cover bands. I had as much fun seeing those four cover bands as I would have probably if I'd seen those original artists struggle through their original material from 40 years ago.
Yeah.
All right. I'm not as big a music guy as the two of you, and I would never, ever, ever want to watch a cover band over the original artist. I can't think of a single cover band that I would rather see than the original artist.
But you would go see a cover band, though.
But I've never really been that drawn to cover bands. It's not something I would go, like our favorite band, U2. There are tons of U2 cover bands. I think there's a great one in Dallas.
Yeah.
I've never really wanted to go see them.
I've wanted to just to see what they got and how close they are to the original.
I mean, I probably would enjoy it if I went, but I don't seek them out like I do the real bands.
By the way, the fake Stevie Nicks had it going on, and I felt like she was singing to me personally like half the night.
Interesting.
Gross.
Yeah. I think real recognized real that night, or fake recognized fake, maybe. I enjoyed it, but the whole way home, I thought, I brought it up as conversation with our traveling group, and we probably spent an hour on it just going back and forth. It's an interesting conversation, especially when you get up to the level that they are up. I mean, they were in Colorado, but they're from Seattle. They're on a tour.
Yeah.
It's just pretty weird. And I thought about this part of it as well. Let's say you took a singer-songwriter who's rising in fame and trying to get good gigs, and you put him in Telluride, Colorado that night. I bet he would have had or she would have had a fourth of the audience. You know, I bet there would have been 50 or 60 people there that night, not 200 or 300 people. And that's kind of that to me is a little concerning in that we're almost bypassing current new music for the cover band.
Yeah.
And I think that, and I'm not trying to downgrade cover bands because there's obviously a demand for it. People want to hear it. But that's concerning to me, and I've even talked to singer-songwriters about this who are pretty discouraged, and on the side to make it, they will come up with a cover band because it pays.
Yeah,
because
people want to hear stuff that they're already familiar with.
Yeah.
Is it because the artist is the artist, the original artist, and so you're when you go to that show or you consume them, you're consuming them for their art? Is the cover band more synonymous with the party?
Yes, I think so.
If I know there's a Fleetwood Mac cover band, well, that's going to be a party. We're not really going because they're giving us anything original. We're going because it's going to be a big party.
Yeah, I think so. And I'm guilty of that because I left it. And I don't know what your thought of Fleetwood Mac was. I always liked them.
Really good.
I think I had maybe a couple of their records, but I never saw them live.
No.
But I left that night thinking, holy cow, they were great. Mm-hmm. It helped me appreciate the artist, so maybe that's the answer there, that it gave me a better appreciation for Fleetwood Mac. And I also ran into a restaurant conundrum that we'll do at another time. It's funny how even when I'm not around you guys, I hear your voices in my head. And we'll get to that later this week.
Okay, looking forward to that.